Thank you, Mark and Miriam. I want you to know that we're spoiled here with the music. It's not like this everywhere in Rome and Floyd County. And if you weren't here Sunday night, Mark, I think your glasses are up here. So you and Miriam did that by memory, right? Are these your glasses? Okay. Try them, you'll like them. Okay. All right. And if you weren't here Sunday night, wow, did you miss a musical? Woo! And you just wanted to go whoop at the end of every song. And I want you to know that the choir was pushed really hard. Nobody passed out up there, but I saw a couple of them stagger a couple of times. But it was outstanding. Well, tonight we're looking at 2 Corinthians again. We're just going to look at verse 11. And I don't want you to think that I'm just overly obsessed with Satan. I think if we went back over all the sermons I've preached in 38 years, I might preach about 1/125th of the time on Satan. But Sunday morning I talked about the enemies of your home, and of course Satan is the base of it. Well, this series I'm doing in 2 Corinthians, it just so happens that God lined it up that I'm talking about Satan tonight. You know, some people just see Satan under every rock. I remember when I moved to Sally, a pastor from the next town, Perry, South Carolina, about population 125. The pastor of First Baptist came down to see me. And he was the one I told you that shared with me that I was working in my yard. He said, I always wear a tie. He said, even when I cut my grass, I want my people to see me in a tie. And then as he talked a little, I figure out why he came down to see me. He had about four children. He asked if my wife and I would be willing to babysit for him and his wife when they went out on dates on the weekends. And I said, that would be no. And then he started telling me about going to some services where they were casting out demons in people, and he saw real frogs and lizards come out of people's mouths. And I thought, okay. And he was serious. And so I just want you to know that I hadn't been to any of those exorcisms. Not even since 1981 when I was told about it. So I don't want you to think I'm overly obsessed with Satan. But I want you to see tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul talks about the awareness of him and his mission team. He says, as you help us by your prayers. No, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm supposed to be in chapter 2 here, okay? In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his scheme. So tonight I want to talk to you about Satan's schemes. Back when the Twin Towers were hit September 11th, AP made a lot of pictures. The one that got the most comments and the most phone calls to question the AP about it was cloud over the Twin Towers that had smoke coming out, and as it formed in the skies, it looked as though there was a head, two horns. And then as you looked at it a little bit further, it appeared to have an eye, nose, and a mouth. And people perceived that as a sketch of Satan's face over New York. The editor was questioned if that photo had been doctored. And he said, absolutely not. He said, but what you're doing is just having a reaction to your natural indentations in the smoke clouds. Now, ladies and gentlemen, nobody had to look and try to imagine that Satan in the sky, because 9/11 had Satan's fingerprints all over it. And I want you to know that he often uses things to inflict pain. All the while, Satan loves to hurt innocent people. Now, his presence and practices are evident, so we're not going to waste time looking at weird-looking clouds. Instead, he says, Paul says, to stand firm against all of his schemes. Let me give you another translation to that verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we need to be careful how we live, because the devil is watching for every opportunity to get an advantage over us. You know, there are many themes in the Bible, many emphases in the Bible, but there's three things that you'll see over and over again in the New Testament, I think, that the Lord wants to hammer home to the hearts of the Christians. He wants us to be constantly aware of the rapture and the second coming, because that gives urgency to the way we live the Christian life and witness to other people. He also wants us to be very aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because all of us have at least one. We need to discover what those are and allow those to be used by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then the third thing, we're not to be ignorant concerning the devices of Satan. And first of all, notice Satan and his existence. The very first thing I would do if I were Satan is I would try to convince people that I was not real and I did not exist. You think about that. To a lot of people, the idea of the devil is just old-fashioned. When we think about the devil, people think about a body in red underwear with a pitchfork, with horns, looking to stick somebody in the backside. That's the kind of cartoon expression of him. We have all kinds of jokes about the devil because it seems we just want to laugh about it. But when you go to Ezekiel chapter 28, you find a description of Lucifer, of Satan. And when you find the description there, the Old Testament writer wrote that he was one of the most beautiful creatures God ever created. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just ran up on Satan because of that radiance that he had in heaven, if you saw him when he was in heaven and you saw his beauty and you didn't know who he was, you might want to bow down and worship him. Be a case of mistaken identity. There's an old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you, but I'm here to tell you today that what you don't know about Satan can not only hurt you, but it can condemn lost people to eternity in hell. I had someone ask me on a Sunday morning recently, right here in the Welcome Center, they walked out and asked this question. Now understand, Satan is not omnipresent, but he does have his associates, demons, all over this world. But one of our members asked me, is Satan in hell now? I said, absolutely not. He won't be confined to hell till after Armageddon, after the great white throne judgment. And then he'll be cast into hell forever and ever. I said, you need to study the book of Revelation. Now, I didn't say that in a condescending way because I am not the authority on the Bible. You know, I've been studying this for a long time. I hadn't touched the hem of the garment of what I need to know about the Word of God. Well, I want you to know that Paul said, Satan himself, to the Corinthians, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He said in Ephesians, Paul said, you need to put on the whole armor of God so you'll be able to stand against what? The schemes or the wiles, in the King James Version, the schemes of Satan. Simon Peter believed in the personality of Satan. He said this, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walked about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Think about all the names that the Bible gives for Lucifer or Satan. One is deceiver. Another name you'll find is he's a liar. He's a murderer. He's an adversary of God and God's church. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. And you'll notice also that he is also referred to as a dragon. And you don't refer to a personification of evil or to a symbol of evil with personal terms, but the Bible said Satan is all of these things. Also, he's listed in Scripture as the father of lies. And then the Bible says that he wants to condemn the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl. He wants to hurt God, but listen to me carefully. The only way he can hurt God is by hurting the people that God loves. Think about that. John chapter 10, verse 10. Here's Satan's agenda for humanity. I mentioned this Sunday morning. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. It's easy to see his fingerprints all over 9/11, but on June 17th, 2004, the September 11th Commission held its final public hearing. At that meeting, recordings from the hijacked planes were heard for the first time. Listen, one tape clarified the calculated evil. Passengers on American Airlines Flight 11 were told a chilling lie by Mohammed Atta, one of the terrorist hijackers. Here's what he said on the intercom. He told all those innocent passengers and crew, quote, "We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport." Not long after he delivered that message, Flight 11 slammed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. 8:46 a.m. The lies of Satan haven't changed over time. It's the same message uttered through those voices of evil on 9/11. But think about what that terrorist said to the crew and to the pastors. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. What is the political correct society saying to Christian people today? On alternative lifestyles, just stay quiet. It'll be okay. When it comes to abortion, if you would just stay quiet, it'll be okay. Socialism, we want to give everybody health care. You drive down the streets of Rome and you'll see the little tents up, the little canopies, giving away free phones played with your text dollars. And I want you to know that people that get those phones get text on when to vote and which Democrat to vote for in all the elections. You do know that, don't you? But we're told to just be quiet and everything will be okay. We need to stay filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only way to victoriously stand against the realities of evil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know a family left our church last year. And one of the reasons they left, they had teenagers. They said, "Our teenagers have some friends who've chosen alternative lifestyle. We can't go to Pleasant Valley South anymore because we never know when our pastor is going to take a stand against alternative lifestyle." See, what you're up against when you're preaching now is oftentimes in our schools and television and social media, we're being taught that that's normal, natural right, that God made people that way. It looks to me like if you have friends that have chosen that lifestyle, that you would love them enough to tell them the truth. So the family left our church because I tell the truth, and they're afraid that their lost friends might be offended. Just keep quiet, and you'll be okay. That's the lie of Satan. Now notice Satan in temptation back in the Garden of Eden. God said unto Adam and Eve, you can't eat the fruit, any of the trees in the garden, except you can eat of any of them except one tree. You know the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And it looked better to Adam and Eve than any other tree, and there was plenty of other fruit there, and yet Satan was there to tempt Eve. Satan appeared to Eve, gave her such a beautiful argument, she fell for it. Then Adam fell for it, they sinned. Satan works the same way now. Think with me just a moment. When you watch television, your favorite college or NFL team, how many beer commercials do you see? And you know what? They're grabbing all the gusto they can get. They're out skiing or fishing. Everybody's just having a great time popping a long neck and a cool one. Doesn't that look great? Have you ever seen one of those advertisements show children in a home, somebody who's an alcoholic, don't have enough to eat? Have you ever seen anybody on one of those commercials that's homeless, and the reason is because of addiction to alcohol and drugs? Just look how wonderful this is to be a sinner. The devil shows, listen, the devil always shows sin's entrance, but never the exit. Think about that. I was reading the other day, 50 secrets your grocer or grocery store will never tell you. Jeff Weider revealed the 10 for 10 sale is one of the most effective promotions they run to move volume, product. He says, sales volume takes off when a grocery store offers this option. He says, it's not uncommon for example, a can of tuna, small can of tuna, 89 cents. And he said, Wednesday when the sale comes out, 10 for 10. How many math majors have we got here? And they said they just jump off the shelves. And people are willing to pay $1.10 more if they buy 10, because 10 for 10 looks like a good deal. Temptation works exactly like that. That which seems irresistible is going to cost us more than we want to pay. Pornography. I haven't been there, but I subscribe to a research service. I get illustrations from life. I get them from books I read. And then I have a research service I subscribe to. I get publications every month on certain topics. And there's, don't go look there, but there's a place called Pornhub.com. Mammoth pornography website. It's reported that in 2016, they had 23 billion visits online. One-fourth of those were females. Visitors to the site, listen to this. Visitors to this porn, one porn site, that's just one, spent 4.6 billion hours viewing the inventory. Let me interpolate that for you. That's 5.2 centuries in a single year. And the United States had the most page views per capita of any other country. When temptation flares, ask yourself, whom you'd rather see, God or naked bodies? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Then Satan, in tearing down our testimony, once you become a Christian, once you have your, give your life to Christ, the devil can never have your soul. The Holy Spirit has sealed you, and you can't lose your salvation, but I want you to know this. If I were the devil after a person became a Christian, I knew that I couldn't have their soul, but I want to destroy any service they might have in kingdom work. I'd tell them, if I were you, I'd quit reading my Bible. heard about a college professor the other day. He was, said he was a Christian, but he became an agnostic. Here's what he does with his class at the beginning of every semester. He says, how many of you own a Bible? This is secular university. Hands going up. How many of you believe it's the Word of God? Hands going up. How many of you own one volume of Harry Potter? How many of you read Harry Potter? How many of you read your Bible? If I was Satan, I'd tempt you not to open your Bible. If I was Satan, I would say, it's all right to attend church every now and then, but I just wouldn't go too often and expose yourself to the Word. I want to tell you what Satan wants to do to the life of the Christian. Satan was not able to take the soul of David. And what we like to remember is that David was a man after God's own heart, but Satan allowed the temptation to commit adultery and to commit murder, and he bit on both of them, and he ruined his testimony for the Lord. Satan wants to destroy your testimony. I think about Samson. He was one of the most powerful men God ever created. Nobody was stronger than Samson. The devil was able to take the life of Samson and so wreck and ruin it that Samson no more had power and influence with God. The devil can't have your soul, but he wants to take every teenager, every child, every mom, every dad who is saved and destroy your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of my prayers. As a Christian and as a pastor, I'm not perfect. I sin every day. But I pray that God will allow me to finish well. I think that ought to be our prayer. And then Satan and trying the church. You know, we never argue in churches about who's going to win the next person to Jesus. I've never been in a business meeting where that was even brought up. He hates Bible-believing, soul-winning, Spirit-filled, God-glorifying church. Church at Jerusalem, people were being saved. Lives are being blessed, and the devil sent persecution against those Christians. Some were whipped. They were beaten. And they left that place saying, we were glad we were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Hadn't heard that lately. Devil said, I know what I'll do. I'll just get on the inside of the church. You know what I hear sometimes? I'm just not getting recognized enough. I'm just not being treated right. Have you noticed my name's not on any of these buildings around here? I don't want my name on any building. All I'm going to be is a blip. Lester Brookshire's imagination in the archives of the church. That's all I want to be. Well, in the early church, some of the widows said, you know, they're not giving us enough attention here. And all of a sudden, there's division in the church. And then that's where we get the first deacons. The apostles had to get some deacons to go and take care of the widows. I was reading my devotion this morning. I read three different ones. And then one of them, this guy, I think he's from Florida, pastor in Florida. He said he was aware of a church near him. Now, understand this. What we have in church now with the difference in the taste in music is worship wars. That's what it is. Some like contemporary, some like traditional. But let me tell you what happens. When you put them all in one service and call it blended, you make everybody mad. And here's what this pastor said. He said they decided they'd just do one service on Sunday morning, and they'd have their choir, orchestra, and praise band and their praise team to do a set of traditional hymns and a set of contemporary. And here's what happened. And this is what's going on every Sunday in that church. It's a true story. He said, when they play the traditional songs, the people that like traditional stand up and sing. And the other people just sit there and look sour-faced. They don't sing. And then we switch over to contemporary. The traditional people sit down. The contemporary people get up. And they sing and praise God. And the people sit there that don't like contemporary and just look like sour saints. And he said, you know, there's a way to worship somehow through some parts of those songs. You know what that is? That is Satan. The source of all that is Satan. Why? Because there's division in your church when that happens. Notice Satan and the substitutes. We've got to move along here quickly. You know, the Bible says there's one way to be saved, and that's only through Jesus Christ. Now, the devil really doesn't care for you going to church. He don't care about you being baptized. He don't care about you being religious. He don't care if you have your own religion. He doesn't even care if you're sincere what you believe. He don't care if you read your Bible too much. The devil wants to keep you from accepting Jesus as Savior. So the Bible says that Satan gives us a false gospel, and Paul knew that. Paul wrote this. He said, In Galatians, if I or an angel of heaven preached any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul said, if anybody preaches any gospel except the gospel of salvation for Jesus, he's wrong and he's accursed and he's of the devil. I want to tell you the seminar I want to go to. I want to go to the Pauline seminar one day. You read over there in the epistles, and he talks about so-and-so forsook me on the last missionary journey. And he says, I've turned him over to Satan. How you do that? Have y'all ever thought about that? Then he'll talk about another one of his co-workers, somebody who did me harm. Remember the blacksmith or goldsmith, what it was, metalsmith that did him wrong? I turned him over to God to punish him. I won't go to that seminar. But I've never seen one. Have you? But Paul is saying, behind all this is Satan. If they're sharing a false gospel, he's asking that God's wrath come upon them. The devil's preaching that you can be saved today through religion. And then we've got the occult in our nation. I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door one Saturday morning recently. It was a teenage girl. She came by herself, and there was another teenage girl standing out by my mailbox. And so I opened the door, and of course I didn't know who it was, and she had her little material there, and I listened to her a little bit. So I said, well, I've listened to you. I just want to share a little bit with you now. She took about 5 minutes. I took about 5 minutes. And I said, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior, and the only way is it's just not by all these works. So she handed me along with my the little pamphlet, and I always just take that in after they leave and throw it in the trash can so nobody can be damaged by the devil's tools. But here's what she said before she left. She said, sir, you act like you know your Bible. And you're one of the few people that I ever meet in these neighborhoods that would even listen to me. And then you shared with me. I just want to thank you. And you have a good day. You know, this old girl, she's deceived. And so you just got to share truth. And you can't cram it down their throats. You just got to share the seed and let the Holy Spirit use it. And oh my goodness, we start running for president right after the last election, the day after. And how many speeches do you hear, we're all God's children? No, we're not. That's a lie from Satan. We're all God's creation. The only people of God's children have been adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus, by being born again. And universalism is one of Satan's big tools out. We're all going to the same place. We had a president of one of our Baptist colleges here in Georgia that wrote a book several years ago called Honest to God. Now, we have divorced ourselves from that college. I bought his book. On the left-hand page, I can still remember it. He said, the Buddhists, those who worship in Mohammed, he went through all of them. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Christians, we are all going to the same place. And your cooperative program funds are paying his salary. That's just plain heresy. You know what? That's Satan behind all that. If I were the devil, I'd give people excuses for not being saved. I'd be saved, but I'd have to give up some of my money. If I got saved, I'd have to give up some of my friends. You know, I believe when I retire, I'm going to stop doing weddings. I have couples come to see me and say, now, Pastor, we're going out here to Kalamazoo Country Ranch. We're never going back there again, but that's where we're going to get married. You know, the way I see this, it's nothing wrong with having a venue for a wedding. But I see us getting further away from God when we do our weddings now, okay? God's not contained to this worship center. But then we get to a discussion. They said, now look, Pastor, you might want to leave early because we are going to serve alcohol. And I said, well, why are you going to do that? They said, listen, our friends won't come to our wedding if we don't serve alcohol. And I said, you know what? I believe I get me some more friends. And they look at me like I'm a dinosaur, which I am. But Satan, he just kind of smooth because he has his schemes. There's a story told that Satan called in all of his scholarly, most intelligent demons. And he asked him a question. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to tell me, if you were in charge, what would you do to keep people from going to heaven? One little demon spoke up and said, Master, I got a plan. We're going to tell people the Bible's not the Word of God. And when they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, they won't find salvation and they won't be saved. And other people said, Master, I got a better plan. We're going to tell people Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God. If they don't believe in that, they're not going to call on the only begotten Son to be saved, and they'll be condemned to an eternal hell. Satan said that won't work because some people are going to believe the Bible, even though we tell them that, and they're going to believe in Jesus for their salvation. Well, another demon got it and said, Master, I got an idea. We're going to tell people there is no God, that the world came into being by evolution. Boy, we're doing that in our public schools now. Don't teach creationism. Don't teach truth. Let's teach a theory. Satan said, that might fool a few people, but most people have enough common sense to know that nothing times nothing doesn't equal something. That's Southern there. But the wisest of all demons stood up and said, a hush fell across that evil conclave of demons, because they knew he was the wisest and the most powerful of all Satan's agents. He said, Master, I propose we tell men the Bible's the Word of God. I propose we tell men that Jesus died for them. I propose that we tell them that God has the power to save. But he said, I propose that we tell them every time they're confronted with the gospel of truth to wait till tomorrow to accept Jesus. I had a man in my office last year. He's 57 years old. As I talked to him, he just knew everything about everything. I love talking to people like that. I learned so much. And so as we began to talk, I said, you know, I've listened to you for a good while. Now, I know you don't believe I listen much, but Sometimes I do shut my mouth. Elaine caught me in the closet two nights ago talking to myself, Warren. And Warren talks to himself all the time. He does, don't you, Warren? You could hear him in his office when he worked for me. He was certified crazy like the rest of us. And Delaney looked at me and she said, you know, she said, I've been worried about you, but I did some research. She said, psychiatrists and everybody, they've confirmed that people who love to be around people just talk to themselves and said it's normal. Problem is we can't keep our mouths shut. That's what the problem is. But anyway, I kept talking to this guy, and I want you to know, he sat there right in front of me, and I said, let me share something with you. And I just, in a loving way, not a forceful way, shared the gospel all the way down to the free ticket to heaven, the bracelet, all this other stuff. And he sat there with big old gator tears coming down his rough face. And when I got through, I said, now listen to me carefully. I said, research shows us that the percentage of the chances that you're going to get saved is in the single digits because you're in your late 50s. I said, it's not that God can't save you. The problem is you've hardened your heart so much through the years that you're probably not going to let this message penetrate. You know what? Came back to my office again about 3 weeks later. I told him that day, we can pray right here, or you can pray in your quietness of your own home, or pray with your wife, whatever you want to do. Came back 3 weeks later, and I said, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior yet? He said, no, I didn't, but I'm thinking about it. So I said, well, let me share a couple more things with you. Gator tears coming down. And to my knowledge, even today, he's rejected Jesus. He's going through a divorce right now, too. What did I just tell you? The number one scheme of Satan is what? For a lost person, when they hear gospel, put it off. You wait too late, you spend eternity in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is alive and well in this world, and he's having a revival in America. Don't stay quiet. That's one of the schemes of the devil. Lord, thank you for